You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
When we look at our investments and we look at financial planning, or we look at estate planning, more often than not, we speak to financial advisors. We have conversations around how to best protect our financial investments and what to leave to the generations that will follow. And a very interesting mechanism or a very interesting structure that keeps coming up is a trust structure. So I thought, why not look at that? Why not look at what goes into something like that and whether or not it could be beneficial for your families, for your family planning, and for your generational wealth transfers. And I'm joined on the line by Devon Codd, who is the director at Crewe Invest, to take a look at this and try and unpack what this means. Good evening, Devon. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start with asset protection. What does asset protection mean?
Evening, Jimmy. Always good to be here.
So
essentially, when we talk about asset protection, mainly when it comes to trusts, the primary purpose there is basically to try and ring fence assets by removing them from your personal balance
sheet. And that's either,
you know, a way of safeguarding those assets from creditors, or if
you need to
safeguard those assets from individuals who can't necessarily make sound financial decisions. And it's a great way of creating generational wealth, you know, by creating a legacy.
Creating generational wealth by creating a legacy. That's quite an interesting take to look at it. When we look at that process and all that it entails, the words or the structures that keep coming up are trust structures. Why a trust structure? What are the advantages of having a trust structure in place?
There are many different types of trusts, and each one kind of serves its own purpose. You know, so if I use some as an example, you know, let's look at the ones that are the most common here in South Africa. And normally it's a bit of a hybrid between what's known as
discretionary trusts or vested trusts.
So, you know, when you set up the trust, you use your contract, which is your trust deed,
which is basically like a guide to the trustees to kind of help them, you know,
fulfill the purpose of what the trust has been set out to do.
So like a discretionary trust, for example, which is one where basically the trustees have complete discretion to distribute assets, invest assets, or distribute income to the beneficiaries that they believe is in the best interest of the beneficiaries. Whereas, you know, a common tool for a trust is, you know, let's use a family member who's potentially suffering from Alzheimer's or has early onset dementia, where, you know, you might use a vested trust where they still keep ownership of the assets, but you're essentially handing over the administration of those assets to trustees who you believe can handle those assets in their best interest.
Technology seems to be trying to rear its ugly head again. We're going to see if we can keep going with the conversation. Devon, I want to look at the trust. You touched on trustees. You also touched on beneficiaries. Is there a difference between someone being a trustee and someone being a beneficiary? What are the nuances there that we need to be aware of?
Certainly. I hope the line is clear. Can you hear me?
Yeah, the line seems to be holding out for the moment. Perhaps you might have us on speakerphone. If that is the case, that could also be causing some of the problems. But let's keep going with the conversation and see how it comes out.
Okay, certainly. So basically, you obviously have your trust founder, who's the person who sets up the trust. The trustees, I would say those are probably the most important people that are set out in the trust. Essentially, they're the people who ultimately manage the assets in the trust. They have the power to make decisions. Obviously, as I said, they're guided by the trust deed. But typically, they need to be people who are financially astute, good at making decisions, and preferably that they actually have experience when acting as trustees. Whereas the beneficiaries, they are the person who essentially have the right to benefit from the trust. How they benefit, again, it's that trust deed that kind of determines how they benefit from the trust.
Devon, you mentioned there's a discretionary trust, there's a vested trust. What's an alter ego trust?
Okay, so now we're getting into the dark arts of trusts. if we go back a bit, you know, trusts used to be these vastly opaque
structures
where when you mention trust, people used to think of, you know, like tax evasion. And a lot of those loopholes have been closed, and they've obviously now got definitions of these trusts that, you know, the receiver is trying to clamp down on. And if we look at one like an alter ego trust, basically that's where the trust founder, so the person who set up the trust, instead of relinquishing those assets and handing over control to the trustees, they still found to be the person that's actually controlling those assets for their own benefit. And the problem there, well, not the problem, what happens in that case is that essentially
if it's found to be an alter ego trust, you essentially
fail to act in accordance with the Trust Property Control Act. And then what's deemed to have happened is that trust basically, that trust structure falls away, and the trust founder would then be seen to have actually held those assets in their name, and they'll be taxed accordingly how they should have been if it was all in their name.
That's very interesting. When we look at the trust setups, you mentioned that a lot of these can become very complicated and very convoluted, and there's a lot of concerns around whether or not they're being used for the right things and whether or not people are using them for ulterior motives. What would the difference then be between setting up a trust and setting up something like a family office? And when you are looking at asset protection, is it worth considering something like a family office structure, or is that more along the line of an alter ego trust? How do we draw the distinction here?
No, sure. So the this phrase family office, you know, the listener out there might not be too aware of what this actually means, but basically a family office is where you have an ultra high net worth individual or family. Typically, actually, there was a study done by UBS, which is a bank in Europe, where the average family office holds about $2 billion in assets. So you can understand what we mean by ultra high net worth. And essentially these family offices, what they do is they basically bring in a wealth manager or team of wealth managers
to
manage their family funds. And they just focus on managing the assets. You know, funnily enough, a trust structure might be a vehicle that this family office uses but they would set it up to obviously ensure that it gets managed properly, and it's not left to the family members themselves to try and make all the decisions.
Yeah.
You know, they obviously bring in a team of professionals where, you know, like a typical trust structure that you know, an individual might set out today, you know, like, for example, there's a testamentary trust that's only set up in the event of someone passing away. So it's written into your will. Or the common one, as we mentioned already, a discretionary trust that, you know, gets set up during someone's lifetime, where they fund this trust by moving assets into the trust, where they believe these assets are going to grow substantially over time. And to get quite technical, this is called estate pegging. So basically the growth of the assets sit inside the trust rather than the individual's personal capacity. So, you know, when it's, you know, done for the right reasons and it's done properly, trusts are great vehicles to obviously protect yourself from those high estate expenses that someone might incur when they're passing on wealth to family members.
Devin, are trusts still taxed at a higher tax rate?
Yes, they are. So again, everyone thinks, you know, tax avoidance, I'm going to save on tax by moving things into a trust. But actually, trusts are taxed at a higher rate than what an individual's tax rate might be. You know, the flat rate is 45% in a trust, whereas obviously an individual is taxed anywhere between 18% and 45%. So there is still tax inside a trust, but the mechanism that people often forget is, how do we get those assets into the trust? Not as simple as just, you know, changing the name of ownership from your name to the trust name. There still has to be a transfer of those assets. And that's normally the stumbling block that people forget about when setting up these trusts.
Perhaps a conversation we need to have a follow-up on. Unfortunately, we have run out of time, though, but thanks so much for those insights. And perhaps we will dig into the intricacies of setting up the trust and how to move those assets. Thanks so much for those insights, Devin. That's Devin Card, director at Crew Invest, on the possibility or the considerations for trusts if you are looking at asset protection.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.